And of course, Erin was up there singing. I haven't heard her sing in a while. And of course, I'm also a daughter. My mom is here today, so I appreciate her being. She wouldn't want to be embarrassed either, but I did that to her. Wow. I just thank Pastor George and Pastor Asia for giving me the opportunity. I haven't spoken to you guys, I think, since October, and it was really easy because we were just here to honor them. So this time I actually had to hear the Lord and hear what he had to say to me. So I love, as Pastor George always says, we don't really plan. Like the worship team, believe it or not, even though she's my daughter, we were too busy shopping and eating and doing all these other things to talk about today. And of course, we prayed about today, but I couldn't have asked for a more perfect worship time. The Spirit flowed, talking about his resurrection and death, and death and resurrection, however that goes, and just how the Holy Spirit orchestrates things. And I also believe that you're not here today by accident, and I'm really glad you're here, because I didn't know what kind of crowd we'd have. I didn't know, but I'm glad that you're here. So, and I know the Lord has arranged for you to be here. I do not have a fancy PowerPoint that Pastor George always has ready for us, but it's okay. So let me start by praying and settle myself in here. So, Lord, I thank you for today, God, and I thank you for your people. I thank you for each person that's here, Lord, and I don't know what they're going through, but Lord, you do. And I pray that you would touch them right this moment. If they're in a new season in life, or they don't know which way they're going, Lord, or they're hurting, or they need healing, or they're on top of the world, Lord, I pray you would meet them right where they are, and you would fill them up, and that you would touch them, Lord, and you continue the ministering that you already begun in this worship service. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for our pastors. Lord, I just agree with how Leda had prayed earlier that you would have your hand on them. We thank you. We bless them, Lord. We pray that this time for them would be a time of refreshing and a time of renewal. And Lord, that you would speak to Pastor George and Pastor Asia in such a way, Lord, that they hear you and you'll make it so personal and intimate for them. Lord, we thank you for their shepherding of us and their caring for us and their prayers for us. Now bless them, Lord. They love you. They honor you. And God, we ask that you would just put a special blessing on them in Jesus' name. So the one thing that Lord brought to me is I had this on my refrigerator. You guys remember when Pastor George brought the word of the Lord for 2024? We're in a prophetic house. That means we flow prophetically, meaning we just speak the word of God, right? You all have that ability. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You can flow prophetically if you want. If you're not sure what that means, then come to one of those things. What is it, foundation lessons? You can learn more about that. I've done it like 10 times. Maybe I should do it again since I can't explain it very well right now. But it's probably time to cycle back around so I can really teach it much better. But Pastor George took and summarized. We listened to the prophets, and they flesh those out for us and bring it before the Lord. So we're about, not quite 6 months through the year. So I just want to bring some of this so you can kind of do a quick check and see how you're doing. So one of the things that Pastor George put on the summary was, this is a time, 2024, to sow significant seed. This is not my message. This is the pre-message for me to get my nerves out. So he basically said, when you sow your seed, just remember that when you sow, right, you plant, you're going to plant kindness, love, mercy, whatever you sow, ministry, friendship, you're going to get that back. So how you doing? 2024, year of sowing and reaping. You should be able to see that, right? Also realize if you start sowing, he said, if you sow in control and greed, these are the ones that spoke to me, or, these are not good things to be sowing into. Don't get caught up in bitterness and unforgiveness and all that, because if you sow that, you're going to get that back. So you want to be careful, because how the Lord is moving this year is he wants to bless you, so sow in the right place. It was a call to turn off social media. Do you remember that one? A time to pull back and really to seek the Lord for his answers. Basically, the word of the Lord was, let's cut off all this bad and negative information and seek the Lord for yourself. How you doing? I need to do better in that. And again, we have 6 more months to get better at this and see the Lord at work. So this is the good news, right? This is the good news. There was also a call to spend intimate time in fellowship with the Lord, specifically in prayer and worship, so that when the hard times come, you've prepared for that. How you doing? If you haven't done it yet, start doing it now, all right? It also, They said there was a specific time, this year was a specific time for you to align your life, and I mean us when I say you, me too, to the plans and the purposes that the Lord has for you. Something that John Maxwell says, he's one of my, we quote him all the time, my family does, but he says that a career is something you're paid for, but your calling is what you're made for. And sometimes those go together, and sometimes they don't. But God is really showing his specific plans for your life. So be on the lookout for that. Spend that time with him so he can point that out if you don't know. And if you already know, I'm glad for you, because sometimes, I don't know, we have different seasons and we're not sure what God's calling for. It just takes time with him for him to show you. Remember that what you start, and there was a word this morning, whatever you start in the spirit, you're going to finish in the spirit. You brought that word this morning. It's not in our own works. God wants to complete the thing that he's doing in you. He wants to be the provider of all that you need, the energy, the teaching, the school counseling, whatever it is I'm doing, whatever you're doing. God wants to finish that. He started it, and he wants to be the finisher. So look for that in your life. There is a call to intercessors. We believe in this house that intercessors is a call. We're all called to pray. But there are some that God puts that special burden on and says, you're it, right? You're going to pray. There's a special call for those intercessors to step up, wake up, and pray. I think we've seen that in our house quite a bit. And also there is also going to be more clarity and confirmation of your call, and especially your identity in Christ. One of the things that Pastor George has been teaching on the last few Wednesday nights, a couple months now, you think 3 months, is on the book of Ephesians, which is all about who you are in Christ. There's no reason to be confused about who you are. I get confused thinking, why are people confused? I mean, God is very clear about who we are. We just don't always stand on God's truth. We get swallowed up by the world and what it's saying to us, and we forget to come back, and it's really simple. Not always easy to live out, as my message will be today, but it's a call to know who you are in Christ. If you don't know, study God's word, especially the book of Ephesians. There's also, which I loved it this morning in particular, there is an emphasis on the corporate anointing of the manifestation of spiritual gifts, as opposed to just an individual. One person coming up and laying hands on and doing miracles, the days of those are still there, but there's more of a corporate anointing. When we're together like this in the body of Christ, God wants to move in a very specific way, and he'll do it in a more powerful way, which makes sense to me, right? Two are better than one, God says. But when we're here, there's something special God always wants to be doing in our midst as a body together. So be looking for that. And then the last thing, again, this is a very short summary of the word that he brought in January, was God will show true power of agreement and unity this year. In particular, when you agree and we unite as the body of Christ, and I see this, specifically in prayer, you're going to see God move. And I just have to stop here a minute and give praise to God. I know this church has been praying for my niece, Leah. I don't know if you know Leah, but she just turned 30 in December, and she was diagnosed with a glioblastoma, a brain tumor, 2 years, October. I keep looking at Leah because she's my partner, and this is what we do. Anyway, so partner in crime when we're doing these little church things for Pastor Adrian, Pastor George. But I want you to know, after her third surgery, which just happened a week ago, the tumor has been totally removed, and she's doing very, very well. So for a young lady that was given 2 years ago, maybe less than 3 months to live, to have her still here, Pastor George has been an extreme, a wonderful example for her, having had his own diagnosis of cancer and still living. And we saw all his grandkids. He was, told that he would see them, but the doctors are saying, no, you won't. So he has been extremely encouraging to Leah and for her to hang on to that. So I appreciate all the prayers from this house that's gone out, and I do believe that is a manifestation of God's power that he's showing when we come into agreement for healing. So she is our miracle in our family. So again, if you can find this little half piece of paper and look and see how you're doing, make adjustments, look for the Lord at work. That was my biggest encouragement. He's at work. He's on the move. But if we are listening to so much social media and we're letting that eat up our time and the news, it's so easy not to see that. It's easy to get in our humanness to get tied up with the negative. All right. So that was my first little bit. I always get short-circuited, but on this time, but it's okay. I'll go fast. So I want to look at the verse. I had a lot of different messages, things I want to name my message, but that really doesn't matter. So we're going to look at Matthew 7, 13 through 14. And I'm hoping, is it Daniel back there today? Thank you, Daniel. They do, sound team does such a wonderful job for us, making us sound good and displaying our things. So the scripture goes this way. Enter the narrow gate. Very familiar, right? Enter the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. And then Luke 13:24. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, I know I skipped to Luke, will seek to enter and will not be able. I want to talk today about the narrow gate in two ways. First of all, probably the most obvious, which is salvation. And then the second, as we apply it to the Christian life. I want to talk first about salvation. Since the time of Adam and Eve, and again, I don't believe I'm bringing anything necessarily new, but maybe just a reminder that man has tried to reach God and get to heaven and have his sins atoned almost any other way than you can imagine than through Jesus. In this particular scripture in Matthew, the narrow gate is Jesus. The Bible clearly teaches that there is only one way. Again, no reason to be confused. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which is John 14:6. There's one way. There's a narrow gate. One way, not a wide gate. There is a wide gate, but there's only one gate that leads to heaven. Get that settled in your spirit, because as the Antichrist spirit continues to move across the world and more people come up with supposedly new ways to get to heaven, it's going to get dark. If you think just in the last 10 years, I was talking with Don a little bit on the phone, in the last 10 years, how our country has changed. And boy, do we need prayer. We need prayer. It's very dark right now, and Jesus said that this would happen, right? But he said that as it gets darker, we'll get lighter. How do we get lighter? Hang on to these foundational truths. There's one way to heaven. It is through Jesus. You guys know this one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have an eternal life. And also then Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then probably one of my favorites, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are two distinct choices before us when it comes to eternity. We either choose eternal life through Jesus and with Jesus, or then eternal judgment in hell apart from Jesus. And that is our wide gate. When people try to go to Jesus any other way and they try to overcomplicate it, that's the wide gate. Many people are deceived in thinking that there are many ways to get to heaven, as I said a moment ago. For example, maybe you have good morals. You know, there are good people out there. I know a lot of good people who are very lost, and they give to the poor. They are even serving in a church. They're helping people in third world countries. They're adopting children, and yet they're very deceived. And they're all good things, but these things do not put a person into heaven. People are often blinded by the lie that says, well, I think most people are good, and then those good people will go to heaven. Or, look, it's only the worst. They're going to be judged and go to hell. And then, here's one I've actually heard. A loving God would not send people to a place like hell. Well, I'd like you to know that whether you're doing good works or donating money or whatever it is you do, these types of thinking even that, you know, only, you know, good people go to heaven and others won't, these are lies. And they're all examples of this very wide and broad gate thinking in Matthew 7:13 that says it leads to destruction. They're not going to heaven. Now, we're not to judge. I'm not telling us to judge. I'm just saying the gates are there. Choose. May I call attention, though, to that word choose. God does not send people to hell. He does not. People choose. People choose. Don't believe that lie. Our loving God isn't sending anybody to hell, but he is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He set the standard. And you either submit to that or you don't. When it comes to someone being saved, repetitive here, there are two choices. One option leads to eternal life, and that is the narrow gate through Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father through him. Very clear message. Do not get out in the world and get confused. That's my exhortation. Don't get confused. I don't care how good it sounds. Don't get confused. Be aware and discerning of that deceptive spirit. Shut it down in the name of Jesus and ask God to speak to you and to the person you're speaking to. Holy Spirit, speak to that person. Draw them to you. Remove the blinders. Help them to see you, Jesus, as the only way. I'd also now like to look at the narrow gate as a way for the Christian life. The second way, the narrow gate, is just like salvation. There are two choices. And this is a very hard message because it's interesting. I'm like, oh, yes, God, you finally gave me the message. And I'm like, oh, I'm failing all points of this because I'm a checklist person. So I know I've had to adjust my life before speaking to you guys about this. We have two choices, right? We can live a life for Christ or we can live a life for ourselves. One is a narrow gate that leads to life. One is a wide gate that leads to destruction. But please don't confuse this. Pastor George has even said, I'm not suggesting that because you live a certain life, again, that that's going to guarantee you a place in heaven. Do you understand that's a separate thing? Your salvation is this, and then you choose to either be discipled and grow up in God or you don't. One or the other. So I'm not talking about works, but I am talking about the narrow gate as a way to life and how you live your life. If we read Matthew 7, 13 and 14 again, and we look at it through the lens of I've already accepted Christ as my personal Savior, we can see that the Christian life is one of a narrow gate road. I like mindset, narrow gate mindset. Sounds more modern, doesn't it, mindset? The narrow gate, or mindset, can be defined as this in my study. I think it's a true inner righteousness. It's not just an external adherence to rules. I'm going to do this. I love checklists. Y'all know that. Anyway, I read my Bible today. I prayed. All good things. But it's God wants more than that. When you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, just know that he brought your dead spirit to life. And the righteousness, he gave you his righteousness. So I'm not talking about, again, doing good works to become more righteous. You are the righteousness of Christ. But as you grow in Christ, and you learn Jesus' principles and you walk those out, there's a true inner righteousness that begins to develop in you. You don't think like the world. Sometimes it's an affront. Now listen, this texting world, I'm learning from these young people. The things that get said on text and personal, I'm just not with it. You know, I'm not aware, whatever. But there's some yucky stuff that gets said. And if you don't say in that text message, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm not going to put up with that kind of dark, nasty thinking. People will just keep going on and on. So it's your own personal text. Don't play in it. Don't play in it. You don't have to do that. There ought to be an affront to that inner righteousness, to the Jesus in you, the Holy Spirit in you says, no, that's not okay. I don't care if you seem old-fashioned. I don't care if it seems out of touch. God will give you a way to reach your generation and in their way without compromise, I promise you. There's a way to do it without compromise. When you renew your mind and you walk out Jesus' principles for living, this begins to grow an inner righteousness. Every choice you make that aligns with God and his word, as you rely on the Holy Spirit for wisdom and direction, your life will then begin to mirror Jesus. The more you allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit, the more your choices will reflect godly principles. I'm not going to read Matthew 7, 13, and 14 again. It's the enter the narrow gate. If Daniel would like to put that back up just so you have it. Thank you. I don't know if he did or he didn't. But thank you, Daniel, if you're going to. I want you to know Jesus' kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. This is not mine. This is my kids coming home from my EX camp who grew up in this church singing some song about, well, I say goodbye to my mother and father, and I'm going to go serve the Lord. I'm like, what? What? Then we're an upside-down kingdom. And like, so then my kids actually got to explain that to me. But basically, it's really simple. Again, I like to complicate things. Don't be like me. It's nothing like a worldly kingdom. However the world sets up their kingdom, Jesus is the opposite. In the natural world that we live in, and I think in the natural way that we think, we always want to connect stuff to what we know, right? That's how you build on learning. But Jesus isn't like that. It is an upside down. It's almost, like I said, the opposite. When choosing Jesus' kingdom, we know that the narrow gate leads to life. But isn't it interesting to know that we don't choose the narrow gate? I'm thinking about the Christian life here. You know, we don't choose it. But yet God says it will lead to life. You know, it's hard. It's very narrow. And it says it's less traveled. Wouldn't you think if one way leads to life, this is what I was thinking, wouldn't you think many would choose it in our Christian walk? Wouldn't we? Oh, but no, the word clearly states that there are few who find it. Don't we want to choose the way that leads to life in spite of its hardships? I want to bring my niece up again. It would have been real hard just to roll over and go, wah, and cry and give up. But the narrow road said, believe, have faith, pray without ceasing, know I'm working, I have plans, declaring God's scripture over her, asking other believers, pray, because something's not right here. This is a work of the enemy, right? So you believe. It's hard. It was hard. And we've cried. Our family has cried many a tear. We're still crying many a tear over it, even in our rejoicing. It's hard, but it's the narrow way. Or I could do the wide gate and just go, whatever. I'm not care. I'm going to keep living my selfish life. I'm not going to take time to pray. I'm not going to speak up to my other body of Christ people and ask them to pray. I'm just going to. And God says that leads to death. There is another path, and I just was speaking about it, to choose, and it's a path of destruction or the wide gate. Notice that the wide gate, just think about a gate. It's wide. It's easy. It's well-traveled, many. And Sherry had used this verse last week in speaking about our times, and I was touched that Sherry used it. It was 2 Timothy 3:1-7, basically saying the condition of the world. And this is wide gate living. And I know we're Christians, but we get caught up in it. My encouragement, exhortation is don't. Stop. Do what you need to do to break away from this, because we're not going to shine brighter if we're looking just like the dark. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. I believe we're closer to those last days. And if you listen to our pastors, they also agree that we're in a season of last days. For men will be lovers of themselves. You see it. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. That is wide gate. That's a wide gate lifestyle. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of truth. This is wide gate living. Another scripture that captures wide gate choices can be found in Galatians 5:19-21 that says, now the works of the flesh are, this is to the Christians, they're evident with adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. I've done that a few times. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a whole separate message. I'm not going to go into that, but I can tell you what, as Sadie was talking about peace, if you're caught up in that white gate living, you will not have the peace that you want to have. I would like to challenge us all to take an introspective look and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if any of the wide gate choices are in our lives. Please know that there's an enemy that hates us and wants to destroy us. And as we're getting nearer to the end times and to Jesus' return, things are getting darker, as I'd said earlier. These types of behaviors I just listed are filling the earth. And if we as believers are not careful, we can become captive to the wide gate choices. Why? Because they're easy, right? And we find ourselves on a very easy path that leads to destruction. The understanding of narrow road choices and the impact of those are clearly presented. When you choose the narrow gate, it brings life. And I'm going further to say that the narrow gate also brings, I love Sadie's word, peace of mind. a clear conscience, wisdom from the Lord, and the fruit of the Spirit as well. And I think Jennifer used Galatians 5:22 last week, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Cultivating. I love that you brought the garden today. Cultivating a narrow gate mindset, living out the fruit of the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way, is going to bring you what you want. There's nothing worse than knowing you're not supposed to do something because you know it's not good, or it's going to impact your family in a negative way, or you have that outburst like I just had on Friday at work, and you make a little fool of yourself, and you know you hurt people, and to have to go back and try to clean all that up. There was no reason for that. All I had to do was step back. It's being honest here, right? Vulnerability's good. Step back and let the Lord have His way. I didn't have to open my mouth and say what I said. It was not necessary. And not that I expect to lead a perfect life, but I did not have a narrow gate mindset, and there's grace for that. You guys know that, right? When you choose a wide gate, as Pastor George has taught, something dies. Have you guys heard him say that? That's a great message. I hope one day we can have all his messages archived by like subject and then series. Wouldn't it be great? I would love to do that. And then you just pick wide gate thinking, or you pick something dies from sin, or like, you know, Google some kind of word and the message would come up. He's done so much teaching. You may not be aware immediately of what has died when we choose to do something wrong, or we choose the wide gate thinking, but it does. God's word states that sin and wrong lead to death. In Proverbs 11:19, it says, as righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to its own death. Wide gate choices bring death. They just do. Narrow gate choices bring abundant life. Almost finished here. When it comes to the narrow gate, I visualize those. I didn't know if there was an official name for them, but you know those flippy bars at the theme park? They're like silver and you think you got to go in like this to them, or you know what I'm saying? They flip through. They're really hard. Turnstiles. Oh, there's a name. I should have Googled that maybe. But you know, I'm trying to cut off that social media. No, I'm just kidding. Turnstiles. I like. Thank you. Turnstiles, right? Now where's my thing? And they're small, and you almost think, well, I got to turn this way and go this way, and I wonder if I can even get through those. But I want you to know I'm pretty determined to get in that park. So I hope that you feel the same way about a righteous life, right? That you're going to go through the turnstile, even though it's difficult. It's not easy. The narrow gate is not easy. But remember I asked, why wouldn't everyone choose the narrow gate if we know it leads to life? That question is like, why? Because we're human, right? I know that. But in that movie, and I don't suggest you watch it, okay? But since I already watched it for you and asked for forgiveness and all this, don't you go watch it. But in A League of Their Own about baseball, many of you may know it, the coach says, well, if it were easy, everyone would do it. I'm not saying the narrow mindset or the narrow lifestyle, whatever, it's easy, because if it was, we would all do it. The very nature of the narrow road is difficult. Why? Because it's a higher road. Jesus is calling us as a body of Christ to come up higher. Come on, you guys. We can't keep looking like the world. We have generations coming behind us that need us to look like Jesus, because he's there making those changes in us. Come on, I think of my grandma all the time, and her on her knees or in her rocking chair, right, Mama, with her Bible in front of her, and you'd walk in on the back porch, and she'd be praying for one of us. I'm like, ooh, she knew I did something. I wasn't supposed to. No, my grandma prayed me here, and my mama prayed me here. My mama made sure that I was where I needed to be when I was supposed to be there in church and at every church camp. Whether I wanted to go or not. And I got saved every year. Just want you to know. I like to share that one. Got to church camp, got out, and got saved. Right, Mama? And she's like, you want to get baptized again? I'm like, yeah, I'm getting baptized again. And she was fine with it. She just knew that's the nature. Didn't matter. Kept me on the straight and narrow. But, you know, let's come on, the generation. Come on, I'm the older now. I'm the older generation. Come on up higher so that these students and these young people can say, yeah, when I look around, I don't just see one person living for the Lord. I see our whole church living for the Lord. Amen. Come on. I looked for that when I was a teenager. It was hard to find. Look, and Pastor George and Pastor Asia, y'all, they're getting on up there. Don't tell them I said that. I hope they don't watch this. But you know what? They're looking for the next generation to step up. Come on. They're here to impart. Step up. And I have this right here. I wanted to mention that. Oh, I got ahead of myself, as usual. La, 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 la. Narrow gate. Okay, so. Da, 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 da. In other words, to walk the narrow road, let me go back because this is important. Means that we'll give. Okay. When you choose narrow gate living, because I just said it was hard, on the practical sense, here's where the rubber meets the road. You always look for those points when Pastor George is preaching, but it's through the whole message. So stop looking for it. Every point is important. And you'll feel it later when you walk out. In other words, to walk in the narrow way means that we give up our own will. Yes, it comes back to that. It's not complicated. We give up our own will entirely, our own desires. It means that we must overcome sin in the flesh through Jesus Christ. The flesh, all those other things. That those things that are come to us so natural, if we have to give those up to accomplish God's will. And then the blessings to us, it come that we know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, and that He has provided all that we need to walk in the Spirit day by day, moment by moment, in His strength, in total victory. So you may ask, well, how do I walk in the narrow way? I think you guys know, but in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture, and Pastor George is preached or mentioned this several times too in the last month or so. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything you need is in God's Word. You don't need a new method. You don't need a new this. You don't need the old this. You need this. Let's stop overcomplicating. Again, I'm preaching to myself. You will walk the narrow way by making daily choices to read God's word, which we're always encouraged to do. Start with the book of John and then read the other gospels. Pay attention to how Jesus interacted with others. He's our standard. Here's some practical ways to build up some endurance and get on through those narrow gates. Pray and commune with God and with his body of believers. Read God's word. Allow it and the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. Worship God for who he is. It's so easy to just worship him for all you've done for me, which he has. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for all of us. But remember who he is. If you don't know who he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, perfect, sinless, if you don't know those things, because if he never did a thing, do you understand? He's our king and he deserves to be worshiped. If he never did anything, that's who God is. I don't even know if our brains can really comprehend, but a tiny bit of who's in charge of this world and who created us. You can spend a lifetime studying that and still not get it. Worship God for who he is, not for only what he does, but at the same time, it's great to practice gratitude for all he has done. We have a great miracle in our family. Do you have a miracle in yours? Sometimes it's just like God provide that next job to pay the light bill. That's a miracle to me. If you don't have it and it shows up, thank you, Lord, right? Confess, repent, and ask for forgiveness often and quickly. Hey, if you've taken a detour and gone through a wide gate, fast. If you need to know more about fasting, talk to Pastor Adrian and Pastor George. They can help you. There's a lot of doctrine and things out there about fasting. I believe it breaks the yoke. I believe when you've prayed and you've swung your scripture and don't know what else to do, ask God, are you calling for a fast? Maybe it's a fast of social media. Maybe it's a fast of food. I don't know. But if you've gone off and you can't get free or whatever, I like fasting. I would certainly have some prayer warriors around me if you choose to do that. And then choose a total dependence on Christ and put his will for us, each one of us, above our own. So just a few more thoughts and then I'll close. If you have been in this house for very long, and this is where I was trying to go earlier, you know that God's word is preached every week here. We as a body have been given much. And in our humanness, we're still struggling to forgive. God says, forgive others so that you can be forgiven. This is a basic tenet of the faith. We've been forgiven so much. Now forgive others. Quit waiting for them to get it right. They may not ever get it right. Forgive. Narrow gate, living hard, but forgive. Stay humble. We're having struggles. We struggle with staying humble. We struggle with being critical, and we struggle with judging. And sometimes it's even, and this is more for me, it's hard to just be friendly on a Sunday morning. That's all God. Spirit of love. Nah, none to have here today. You know, why are we struggling with this? What if we decide today as a body to put away the wide gate thinking? And we begin walking in the things that we've been taught from the Word of God. He says, whom much is given, much is required. We've been given so much of the Word in this house. When you hear it, God will provide what you need. I just want you to know, as you get into God's Word, He will provide what you need to walk it out. It's not something we do on our own. What if we decide to grow up and mature? I know throwing a fit may be a very much a worldly thing when I don't get my way, right? But it's not God's way. It's not. Let's grow up and mature. And can we reflect a godly lifestyle, the narrow gateway, Jesus's way? What would happen in the body of Christ if we leaned into this narrow gate and lived out Galatians 2:20, the upside down kingdom? And I think you'll know this verse. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about me. It's not even about what I want. God is inviting us to a narrow gateway of thinking and calling us up to his way. It's time. It's not for somebody else. It's not for her. It's not for you. It's for me and it's for you. It's time for us to put this away. The gossiping, the slandering, the unforgiveness, all the stuff, put it away and then put the good stuff on. Don't just put something off. Put something on. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. I think that's the wide gate. Sometimes there is a way that does seem right, but in the end, it leads to death. My encouragement today is to choose the narrow gate, knowing that it will lead to abundant life. God promises, narrow gate, even though it's hard, if you travel it, it will bring life. Wide gate, it's guaranteed to bring destruction. So, Elisa, you're going to come up and you have a word for someone. She's going to come up and play, but I think the altar will be open for two things. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there'll be people up here that can lead you to the Lord. I think Jay and Marilyn are going to be up here. And also, if you're wanting to just rededicate yourself back to the narrow gateway, or you're needing prayer for something, Marilyn and Jay will be here for that too. They would love to pray for you. You want people to pray for you? These are the two people to do it. But we'll be up here as well. So how do you want to do this, Leda?
I'm just going to give it, and then I'll go up and...
Okay, and I'll...
Pelleteers, if you guys don't mind, just...
You want to, okay, I guess I'll pray. Again, the invitation for you guys to come up and have prayer is okay, but let me close this out. Lord, I thank you again for your people. God, I thank you for their willingness to sit and listen to your word, Lord. I pray that those things that were of you, that those would go down deep, Lord, and take root, and they would grow. And Father, those things that were not of you, that those would just be swept away. Lord, they would not have a place in anyone. Lord, I pray blessing over your people. God, I thank you how you're moving us and you're taking us up higher. God, help each one of us to walk in what we know, Lord, where we're at. Each one of us is an individual, and we're all on this road and working out our salvation, Lord, our Christian life with you. So Lord, strengthen each person this week. Lord, encourage them. Lord, just show yourself strong in their situations and in their season and everything that they face this week. I bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.